I'd like now to welcome back to the show Leanne Leith. She is political director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
So we have, during this legislative session, been talking about all sorts of things with Linda Siegel and various people, driver's licenses and health care. And at the very beginning of the session, we talked to Sandy Buffett of Conservation Voters New Mexico. But let's get an update now on conservation and anti-environment bills going through or being stalled in the New Mexico legislature at this point. What does it look like? What's going on?
Well, actually, we have some good news to report. And I think when Sandy was on the show earlier in the session, things looked rather dire. There were a lot of anti-conservation bills out there, and they were some of them were moving. And we are now there. I think in total there are about 65 or 70 anti-conservation bills that we were opposing. And at, you know, going into the last 4 days of session, we're down to about maybe 10 or 12 that are still moving and still have life. The rest are all stalled in committee. And so, you know, the legislature has actually done, I think, a pretty good job of reviewing these bills very thoroughly. There still, unfortunately, are a few out there.
What are some of the really, in your view, most egregious ones that have not gone forward?
Well, there are a few, more than a few, actually. There was one bill that hasn't moved out of the House. In fact, it hasn't moved out of its first committee. It would have required economic impact statements for rules that are adopted by agencies. And rules are the things that protect our public health, safety, welfare. And what it would have required are these economic impact statements that an agency would have had to do to estimate what the cost of a rule would be. And if they underestimated the cost of a rule, that would come directly out of the agency budget, which we thought was a rather creative way of being punitive towards agencies who want to safeguard public health and safety.
And that didn't go anywhere.
No, that hasn't gone anywhere. There was another one that was moving, and it was actually had some quite a bit of heft behind it, and this was the cultural properties bill. And what it would have done is put unbelievable hurdles in front of any cultural property or cultural historic site designation, and just such that probably there would never be another designation of a cultural site in New Mexico ever again. And you know how important cultural properties are to the state of New Mexico.
And that also did not have any traction.
No, on the House and Senate side, both of them got out of a single committee but didn't stalled in their next committee.
So what are we looking at now?
Well, we have still have some bills that are moving that, you know, we have some concerns about. There are bills that would gut our renewable portfolio standard. There's House Bill 546, which was stalled in House Business and Industry Committee about 2 weeks ago, and they pulled it off the table last week. And for those who are familiar with New Mexico's renewable energy standard, there are a lot of states across the country that have these set amounts, these targets, that standards that we have to reach for the percentage of renewable energy that has to be in a utility's portfolio. And New Mexico's rule is 20% by 2020 renewable energy with benchmarks along the way. And this bill would have cut that in half and essentially set the
10%
amount,
by 2020.
Yeah, which we're already at almost 10%. So
right.
So it basically would have stalled all renewable energy. And one of the problems is the renewable energy industry is that one of the fastest growing sectors of the economy, whereas I think overall job growth in New Mexico has been about 1.9% over the last 5 to 6 years. Renewable energy growth has been 65%.
Oh my goodness.
So it's huge.
We've talked about that with New Energy Economy,
yes,
on more than one occasion, whose position and with a lot of evidence is that there are hundreds of billions of dollars in this world waiting to be spent from venture capital alone on new energy projects.
Absolutely, and all they need is the market signal. That's all they need is the market signal. And as soon as you start changing the rules of the game as you go along, you actually are deterring investment more than if you hadn't imposed the rules in the first place, because they just don't know. There's also one other bill I want to talk about on the anti-conservation side, and it's a little bit arcane, but there's a bill that's going to be on the Senate floor sometime in the next few days. It's Senate Bill 415. It's sponsored by Senator Beffert, and it's called Utility Cost Limits, which sounds like the really exciting bill. Mm-hmm. But what it does right now in our renewable portfolio standard, in when utilities are implementing that standard, there is actually a cost threshold requirement or a cost threshold cap, so that if it costs them too much to comply, there's sort of an off-ramp
right.
where they have an escape valve. And right now the Public Regulation Commission has the authority to set what that cost cap is, and they've got it set at 2%, but ramping up to 3%, which is actually very minimal when you look at what utilities have been asking for in terms of rate increases because of the cost of conventional fuels, oil and gas, cost of oil and gas increases. That's a very small amount. And what this bill would do is set in statute a 2% cap. So it would take all of the flexibility away from the PRC. And I think even worse is that because of the way it's set in statute, there wouldn't be any opportunity for investment because the costs aren't amortized over the life of a project. So the 2% cap would prevent any capital investment up front, even if over 10 years that renewable energy investment would be dramatically less expensive than the conventional fueled alternative.
And might even make money, who knows?
Exactly.
That's one of those kind of the devil is in the details bill. Like it doesn't stand out to the typical listener as, well, what's wrong with that? But it actually doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And in the end, again, it would be a huge market signal not to invest in renewable energy because utilities are not going to be demanding it.
And so that's something that people can call their senators about?
Absolutely. Call your senators at the Capitol. All you have to do is call the Capitol number at 986-4300 to get connected to your senator.
We're talking to Leanne Leith from Conservation Voters New Mexico. Are there any pro-environment, help-the-environment bills that have gone anywhere?
There actually are, and some of them, it's interesting. A lot of the more ambitious ones haven't moved, and I don't think that that's particularly a surprise to anyone. But there are these great bills that seem smaller but are going to have huge impacts. One is House Bill 145, which has made it all the way through the House, through its first Senate committee. Right now it's sitting in Senate Finance Committee. And it is Representative Stewart's High Performance School Buildings Act. And what this would do is increase the opportunity for schools to invest in high-performance technologies that will save water, save energy, and frankly, in the end, save operating costs because it's going to save on their water and utility bills.
Right.
And it's a great bill, and hopefully it'll be able to make it through. The problem is there's a bit of a logjam in Senate Finance Committee, so we're trying to get bills out of there. And there's a similar bill, actually. Senator Keller, Tim Keller, has a Senate Bill 237, which actually just passed out of House Energy and Natural Resources Committee yesterday. And it is a bill that adds, right now, there is an Energy Efficiency Bonding Act that allows public facilities, state buildings, and public schools to access bond money to invest in renewable energy and energy efficiency, and then basically, those bonds are serviced by the savings in the operating costs over the life of the building. And Senator Keller's bill would expand that to allow post-secondary institutions to take advantage of that. So obviously, it's a great bill.
There is another issue that's going on in New Mexico that is not exactly a legislative issue, but it's something that's important to talk about, which is that Bill Dupuy did a very good story on this not too long ago. There is an entity that was called together by Governor Martinez called the Small Business Task Force that I thought was supposed to be a task force to really help mom-and-pop businesses in the state of New Mexico. What's the reality of that task force?
Well, that's a great question. And we obviously had a lot of questions about it. They announced that the task force was being established, but they didn't announced the membership of the task force, and that didn't come to light until some enterprising reporters submitted Inspection of Public Records Act requests to find out what the composition of that task force was. And we were concerned when we saw the membership, because they don't actually seem to be, or there doesn't seem to be much, if any, representation from small business, or what most people would think of as small business, mom and pop shops. What they tend to be are either lobbyists or principals in large businesses, large industries, many of them out of state, where their employers or their clients are out of state industry.
Hang on, the Small Business Task Force of New Mexico has members on it who are heads of large out-of-state businesses?
Well, they're lobbyists or clients for large out-of-state businesses. So, for example, there's a member of the task force who has a large number of out-of-state oil and gas and mining company clients. And that's who he lobbies for in the roundhouse. And that's not, I don't think it's unusual when you look at the full list of members of the task force. We just don't find the mom-and-pop shops, the ones who really need the help.
So what is this task force coming up with?
Well, they met, as we understand it, they met twice, although we believe that there's still more information coming to light about what the what sort of their conclusions are and what their recommendations are. But what we can see is that from the meeting minutes that have come out from the two meetings that they had, is it does appear to be the legislative agenda of big industry. So the Small Business Task Force recommended changes in law that jibe almost perfectly with the legislative agenda of oil and gas, mining, big dairy, industrial dairy, et cetera.
For example?
One of the pieces of legislation that was moving very quickly through was House Bill 297, which was basically how the state treats inactive oil and gas wells. And it was a big issue for many of the oil and gas producers. And what they wanted, frankly, was to get a longer time frame for dealing with their inactive wells without having to post financial assurance or test those wells for mechanical integrity. And, those tests are really important. Inactive wells are a huge vector for groundwater contamination. And so you need those tests before you leave a well sitting out there to make sure that that you're not contaminating our groundwater.
From what I know of that task force, their major thrust seems to be to disable any and all environmental regulation. Environmental regulation, while maybe some of these regulations are imperfect, I don't know them in as much detail as you, but they really just exist to make sure that we're not drinking benzene and stuff like that, aren't they?
Pretty much, yes. And what sometimes people forget too is the Environment Department, which is responsible for most of the environmental regulations, aren't just responsible for environmental regulations. It's also pool safety, worker safety, the convenience store regulations that were passed a few years ago that have made convenience store workers safe. It used to be the most dangerous job in New Mexico. That was all done by the Environment Department. We're talking about saving people's lives. But yes, air quality, we're talking about the pollutants and the contaminants that are causing major health problems among young people particularly, as well as our senior citizens. And the dairy waste regulations that were just adopted by the Water Quality Control Commission that will protect our drinking water. These are all very, very important rules. And if you look at what came out of the Small Business Task Force, almost to a rule, their recommendation is either to rescind, repeal, or revise these rules.
And also to try to figure out a way to not let Environment Department officials enforce the existing rules.
Yes. And actually, that's been also a theme in some of the legislation we've seen is, you can't pass laws that are retroactive. You can't pass a legislation that would apply to previous cases. So, for example, when they've been trying to repeal rules, some of the bills, they've tried to repeal, but there are constitutional issues with doing that. So they've indicated that these are prospective, that it would affect rulemaking prospectively. But one of the bills, and this was a bill that was actually stalled in House Energy and Natural Resources Committee yesterday, and this was House Bill 579, Representative Taylor's, that was going after greenhouse gas emissions and the carbon rules. And what it did, although it was presented as a prospective bill, it prevented any agency from enforcing existing rules on greenhouse gases. And something else to keep in mind is we think of greenhouse gases as uniquely climate change, but they're also air pollutants that we need to, that are actually air contaminants that have major public health impacts.
Leanne Leith is with Conservation Voters New Mexico. There's much more to talk about, but we're just out of time. Anything else that you want to let people know before we go?
Really quickly, I promise, but folks should know that the Environment Department, the State Environment Department's budget was cut by over 19% in its general fund appropriation. And this is a huge concern for anybody who, I mean, this is restaurant inspections, it's oil and gas, it's really important. And unfortunately, I think we're going to see a lot less enforcement of our existing safeguards, the common sense safeguards on which we depend.
Leanne Leith, thanks for being with us, and we hope to see you after the session to talk more about environmental issues in New Mexico.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.